Now, I know I'm speaking. I know who I'm speaking to this morning. And I lost my place. I know who I'm speaking to this morning, so I don't have to try to convince you that it's important to your relationship with the Lord, that that's what holds you up. That's what gives you strength. That's what keeps you from falling into some of the traps that other people fall into. You love the Lord, you love His way, and then you're protected from Him because He sees it. That's my person, and I'm going to help them out when they need me. They may not know I'm doing it at the time, but I'm going to slip in there and help them do what they need to do. So we are able to avoid some of the snares and traps that other people aren't able to fall away. I see all these people falling away, and I see the way they're going, and I'm troubled. And the reason why they're so easily led to ruin is I don't think they have the support of the Lord to protect them, because many of them don't know that there is even a God. There's a God who's ready, a God who's willing, and a God who's absolutely able to bless them with His wisdom and strength, and it's just His presence in their lives. There's a God who is ready, willing, and able to bless them with His wisdom and strength. He just wants to be there. He wants to have them have joy in their lives. And in Him, they can find that joy. Now, the reason that people don't know about the blessing of being a child of God, in many cases, is because the church, this is the greater church, not just one church, the greater church has kind of failed to share the good news of a better way to live in our God. In our God who loves them, in our God who gives them strength, in our God who wants to bring joy and peace and comfort into their lives as opposed to having them have pain and suffering. So my purpose this morning is to encourage all of you to take up the banner of the Lord and share Him with all the people who don't belong to the Lord. And we'll do that one person at a time. Now, I know being a lifelong Presbyterian, that's kind of good in some cases. In other cases, maybe not so good. Evangelism is not something that has been taught a lot or encouraged in much of the Presbyterian church. And I'm speaking about the whole big mess of people who call themselves Presbyterian. The greater Presbyterian church, in general, has avoided empowering all the people in the pews to be able to share their faith and testify to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He does for them. We've kind of downplayed that. It's not all y'all that did that. It has been other people working within the church to do that. Somehow, people have gotten this idea that evangelism is the province of pastors alone, and not something that non-pastors should even think about doing. I've actually had an ordained EPC pastor tell me that I was doing wrong when I was trying to teach my congregation how to share their faith with their neighbors and their friends and their family. The problem with that kind of thought is God thinks that evangelism is the business of all of us. And He tells us that over and over again in His holy word. My sermon text for today is 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. And here Paul tells us, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I submit to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that the time that Paul spoke about in this passage has come. Many have turned away from the truth. and they listen to what their itching ears want to hear. They want to go to church, and everybody says, you're a good guy, you do this, you don't have to do this, just sit back there, God's got it, he's in charge, he'll do everything for you. And I ain't the truth, is it, Steve? I mean, I think we have to play a part in doing the work that needs to be done for the church. So, I see this stuff going on in the country. I'm unhappy. And to me, the question then becomes this. What do we do about it? Something's wrong. Something needs to get fixed. Fortunately, Jesus answered that question before he returned to heaven in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we have there Jesus answer our question. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, I want to be clear here. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. It is and was a command. Jesus, who just told him, I have all the authority in the world. I have all the authority. I'm the boss. I'm the head chief. Nobody is more powerful or more in charge than I am. And his first command, his first order to these people was to go. Not just go and leave, but to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, go share the gospel. Now, some folks believe that this command only applied to the disciples, but I don't believe that at all. I believe it was and is intended for all members of Christ's church. What we are commanded to do, what we're commanded to do is to go and do the best we can to snatch sinners out of the very jaws of death by telling them that there's a Savior available to them. We have to do that. We have to get to them. We have to tell them that. When the Lord returns, you know, those who have not claimed Jesus as their personal Savior will be thrown out of his sight to a place where there will be great mourning, great weeping, and grinding of teeth. And that place will bring constant suffering. People who go there will never know comfort or peace. Instead, they will suffer as much as they are humanly or personally able to suffer. I am not willing to let anyone spend eternity in a place like that without a fight. Our job is to bring the Word of God to those who are not saved so the Word can draw them to Jesus Christ. It's not an easy job at all. Evangelism requires hard work. To do the job of bringing the lost to saving faith is such a big job that it requires all of us to be involved. One person or even a few people can't do the job as it should be done. It takes the whole church to get the job of evangelism done. I've had people tell me at one of the churches that I've served that evangelism was my job and my job alone, go do it and shut up. That's simply not true. Pastor's job is to preach and to teach and counsel and be with people in their times of need. There's no way a pastor can also do the job of evangelism all alone. It takes a team. It takes all of us working together to get this job done. Now, saying all that, I also want to say, and I want to be sure about this, that I don't believe that the members of any church should be out on a street corner preaching or handing out tracts. I think there's more to it than that. I think people that do that just make their conscience feel good. I believe that all members of the church do have to play a part in this ministry we call evangelism. And that brings up several questions. Now, how should evangelism involve every member of the church? How does evangelism call for an end to spectator Christianity? And how can we all be involved in the work of evangelism? Well, those are the questions we're going to try to work out today. Hopefully I can give you some answers. And I'm going to begin by asking how everyone can preach the gospel all at the same time. First point is that we should share the gospel. The first question we should ask and answer here is just, what is this thing called the gospel? The word gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion, which means good message or good news. Evangelism is simply spreading the good news about salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Paul wrote, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture." The gospel is the fulfillment of the scriptures. According to the scriptures, we needed a perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins by dying in our place. God's rule is sins done in the flesh have to be paid for in the flesh. To be able to pay for or atone for our sins ourselves, that would require that we live a perfect life. Now, I have never done that myself. We would have to live a perfect life. In fact, we would have to live a better than perfect life to atone for some of the sins that we committed, or all the sins we committed, before we learned that there was the Lord Jesus and there was a way to heaven. We can't do that. You know, one of the problems that we have right from the get-go, even the little babies have, is Adam and Eve and their sin. It's impossible to live a life which is better than perfect. Son of God, because he knew that we needed him, and he was the only way, he took on human flesh. And he came, and he suffered, and he bled, and he died, and he did it so that we could be saved. Only blood can atone for sins, and Jesus' blood just did exactly that. According to the scriptures, our perfect sacrifice not only had to die for our sins, he also had to be buried to prove to the world that he was dead. But there's more. Our perfect sacrifice not only had to shed his blood and be buried, he also had to overcome death itself, and he did that in the resurrection. So then the gospel message, the good news, is our sins have been atoned for in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And since the price for our sins has been paid, we can be reconciled to God, becoming heirs of God's kingdom, simply by accepting Jesus as our Redeemer, as our Savior. The message then is simple. Accept Jesus as Lord, inherit the kingdom of heaven. I think that's it in a nutshell, but there's more that doesn't always get in a nutshell that should. And I think it's simple. The gospel is pretty simple, really. I think anybody can really share that good word, that good message. It doesn't take a minister. It doesn't take an evangelist. It doesn't take a seminary professor. All it takes is someone who loves the Lord enough to share the good news about him with people who have never accepted him as Lord and Master. Every day, I mean every day, we share all kinds of things with people around us. We share the weather, we share the air, we share meals, we share work, we share rides to and from the places where we like to go. We share all kinds of things with people we hardly even know. And yet, when it comes to sharing the truth, when it comes to sharing salvation, when it comes to sharing the Lord of the entire universe with all people, we sometimes kind of pull back and get very quiet. We seem to be afraid of offending unbelievers by telling them they need Jesus in their lives. And yet, there's no better message, there's nothing better in the whole world than the gospel message. The gospel message is better than social action like feeding hungry and healing the wounded or freeing slaves. Those are wonderful things, don't take me wrong, but they only apply for a short 70. Well, salvation applies for eternity. The gospel is better than political involvement. People have been campaigning for office and getting elected for centuries. They pass laws, they develop budgets, they engage in all kinds of programs aimed at solving the problems of this world, and yet at the end of the day, nothing really seems to change. People still suffer, people still have unmet needs, good paying jobs are hard to find, healthcare is getting harder and harder to be able to afford, and far too many people remain homeless. The ills of the world never go away. In fact, they never seem to get even a little less common. No matter what the politicians do, people still suffer. And why is that? Because politicians don't have the power to change the world. Only the Savior of mankind can change and save the world. And we need to introduce the one who can make positive change, positive differences in all lives. We need to introduce him to all who don't know him. We have to start sharing the gospel. We must start sharing the good news. What's that you say? But I'm not a preacher. Pardon? What'd you say? Did you say, well, I'm not a pastor? What? You say, I'm not an evangelist? But I can't preach? Well, you know what I say when I hear those kinds of things? I say, perfect. Just perfect. You don't have to be a preacher. In fact, there's an advantage that you're not a preacher, because you are a real world person who lives and works and plays in the same world your friends and your acquaintances and your neighbors and the people at work do. You have the same problems. You have the same struggles. You face other real world people, same struggles and fears that other real world people have, excuse me. And when you say knowing Jesus makes your life better, they're more readily able to believe that Jesus can help them too. You see, you have something that Steve and I don't have. You have real world creds. You do it. How do you do it? Well, we can't all preach the gospel from a pulpit, but we can preach the gospel at work, at home, at the mall, social functions, grocery store, auto repair shop. We can all preach the gospel wherever we go. A fellow by the name of Francis of Assisi used to dismiss his congregation of his church, by saying, now go preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. What he meant was, the most effective way that we can preach the gospel is with our witness and with our walk. The Great Commission commands all of us to share the gospel, and we must obey all of God's commands. Therefore, we all have to find a way we can share the gospel, and then we'll just need to start doing it. At North Oaks Church, I believe you have help available when it comes to sharing the Lord with someone. 2 weeks ago, I attended Pastor Brown's class on Sunday night with a great many of you came to show up for that. And he explained very well and very clearly a method of sharing the Lord with others. It's called the three circles. That's something that we talked about, but it's been around a long time. I did it maybe for 50 years. I think it might have been the three squares or the three triangles back then. But anyway, it was the same type of thing. And he brought that in and he explained it. So what I would encourage you to do, if you feel that you want to start sharing the gospel, have a talk with your pastor, one of the elders, and ask them to tell you more about that method. It makes evangelism easy. It's so easy, even I can do it. My next point is that we need to make sharing the Lord our first priority. Again, the stakes are high. Thousands of people in this community are going to spend eternity in pain and suffering simply because they don't even know they need to be saved from that fate. It seems much of the modern day church has forgotten that sinners go to hell. It seems to me that much of the modern day church has forgotten it's our job to tell the world they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. It seems much of the modern day church has stopped reaching out to the people who don't come to church, and it seems that much of the modern day church no longer seems to care about the lost. In days gone by, the church held revivals. In days gone by, the church sponsored evangelists who came to town and held camp meetings. In days gone by, we had outreach programs and home missions, and it seems like those days have gone. Churches still try to feed the hungry and clothe the naked and house the homeless, which is great. I love it. But it appears the church in general seems to have stopped sharing the gospel. I'm not speaking about any particular church, just in general. We seem to be so worried about offending someone by telling them that they need Jesus Christ that we just don't do it. Do we fail to evangelize because we don't care about the lost? I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's true. But what I do know is God still cares about them. In 2 Peter 3:9, we have, "The Lord isn't slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God wants everyone to come to saving faith. The cross very clearly tells us that God does care about people going to hell. And if God cares, then we had better care as well. We had better care about the lost. We had better develop a way that we can reach out to them and get them into the church. We need to develop a sense of urgency that this is an important thing. Job one, we have to get this done. We have to share the gospel. The Crazy Commission gives us an urgent message to deliver, and we need to make delivering it a priority in our lives. We need to risk offending them so we can give them the best news they've ever had. And by the way, when you say that, whenever we attempt to share the Lord with someone who has not put their faith in Jesus Christ, we need to do it with love, and compassion, and great gentleness. We don't need, and we must not, Billy Sunday anybody into faith. Well, we the saints got to get sorted out. We got to get perfect. The purpose of the church is summed up in Ephesians 4:12. There it says the role of the church is to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The role of the pastor is to preach and teach so the members of the church can be prepared to share the message that they hear in church, the message that they've accepted, the message that has changed their lives. The role of the church is to teach the members of the church to do the work of ministry. The role of the church is to reach out to souls who need saving. And the role of the church is to disciple the new converts who come to the church looking for the Lord. The reason that the church needs to build up the members of the church is so that all members of the church, all believers, are able to share their faith. Matthew 4:19, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." As fishermen, we must be willing to do the work it takes to bring the lost home. Fishermen, you know, they get up early. They get on their boats. They set their nets. And then they go back in a bit and they pull the nets back in. If they don't get out on their boats and set their nets, they will certainly not catch any fish at all. It's a lot of hard work, but it's the only way to catch fish. We are to bring the lost to Christ as we've been commanded to do. And if we are to do that, we must do the work that is required. We must prayerfully and lovingly approach the people who need to hear the message. We need to study the word so we know what to tell them. And we need to show them the difference that being a Christian makes in a person's life. Not only do we have to do this once, but we have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. We have to be able to reach out to new people for Christ. Each day, we have to share the gospel by how we live, by what we say, by what we value, and by how we treat others. We must show the world we have faith, and we must show the world the blessing a life of faith is. Finally, we have to do so with the right attitude. Sometimes I think we have the attitude in some churches that we can't do what needs to be done to reach the lost, or even worse, we have the mistaken idea that even if we do do what needs to be done, they won't come. Fishermen go out every day expecting to catch a bunch of fish, and we need to do likewise. We must share the gospel expecting it to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. And if we don't believe it will change lives, we have no reason to think they will believe it will change their lives. Wiseman once said, when it comes to ministry, attitude is everything. There's a lot more to sharing the gospel, a lot more that needs to be done. I'm a big believer in something called friendship evangelism. At first, you got to get to know the person. You got to get into their lives. You got to support them. You got to get to see that you're somebody who's trustworthy, somebody who does good things, and somebody that lives according to some kind of set of rules that seems to make them happy and able to live in this world. It takes a lot of work, but it's stuff we can do. I really do believe that 2023 needs to be the year of evangelism here at North Oaks and everywhere else as well. 2023 needs to be the year that churches begin to burn with the desire to reach the lost for Christ. And if we believe that we must all be involved with the ministry to get the job done, then we must be united as a church, because our unity will give us the strength to do the ministry as we have never done it before. The first step to having strength is to be set on fire for evangelism, is to be excited about sharing the word with those who don't know him, and such excitement will be contagious. It will affect the people all around you here, and it will also affect people who don't even worship. We have to get ready. We have to get out. We have to go and do it. Excitement is something that's impossible to fake and even more impossible to hide. There was a church set right in the middle of a neighborhood, in the middle of a city. All kinds of people lived in that neighborhood. Most of the members of the church lived right in that neighborhood. The church had an outreach committee which did its best to get new people in the neighborhood to attend the church. They'd send letters to the new residents. They'd invite the new neighbors to their special programs that they had at the church. They'd even give the new people in the community as they moved in, they'd give them a welcome to the community package. They did all those things. They did things they thought might work, which is what we always seem to do, isn't it? A man from outside the neighborhood bought the house next to the church. And for years, the outreach committee did their level best to get him to come to church, but he never did. And then one day there was a fire at the church. And the whole neighborhood turned out to help fight the fire. And after the fire was extinguished, everyone went into the sanctuary to thank God for helping them save the church. And one of the members of the outreach committee noticed that the guy who lived right next door had finally shown up in the church. He noticed that, yeah, that guy had been there helping us fight the fire. And now he's joined us as we worship and thank God for saving our church. So he approached the man, and after thanking him for his work and thanking him for coming to worship, he said to him, after all these years, you've finally come to church. I'm very happy about it, but I don't understand why. And the neighbor said to him, I came because this is the first time I ever saw this church excited about anything. As a church, we have to be excited about the gospel. We have to be excited about sharing it with our community. And we have to be excited about the change that it will make in the lives of those who come to Christ. And if we're truly excited about all that, our excitement will show and it will draw others into the church. So I propose we make 2023 our year of evangelism. Let's make it 2023, the year that we become excited about reaching the unsaved. Let's make 2023 the year we do all we can to obey the Great Commission. And if we do go out and bring them in, then this year will be the best year that North Oaks Church has ever known or has ever known in quite a while. So let's get excited. Let's get excited about our relationship with the Lord. Let's get excited about this church. Let's get excited about sharing the word with everyone we can, and let's let our excitement show. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. He gave us a Savior in Jesus his Son. Let's get excited and share him with everyone